apologize.
There we go. Okay. I wanted to make sure you have access to the WhatsApp and we can go back and forth. Any questions, any issues you may have, or any just, you know, any back and forth you want to do in this sugya that we're learning, that's a better place to get through to me. So let's make sure if you want that, please sign up, call the number, get the information, reach out to Jake, and we're going to get you in. All right, Jake, you can pull the screen. All right. The next thing, as I always say, if anyone is struggling with what they may feel is a real addiction, or they know somebody who's going through real addiction, please, please seek professional help. Learning this Limud is not necessarily going to help on that level. And if you are unsure, please get in touch with me and I can refer you. Also, as always, Le'ela Nishmas, this shir is Le'ela Nishmas Yitzchak Kadosh Ben Hanan. That's my father. Amiz Neshama have an Aliyah. Okay, let's jump into this. We talked last week, on Thursday, we talked about the different damages that could happen outside of the actual sin of Pagam Bris. So we talked about different things that could happen with our relationship with other people, our relationship with Divrei Kedusha. We talked about what happens in the addictive cycle. It actually starts a cycle of you're constantly in the state of desire, never feeling contentment. And then also we also talked about like just losing our faith. We just completely lose our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we're going to talk about how we can fight it. And unfortunately tonight I do have to dip a little bit early. We're going to get through a full idea, so I'm not going to leave you hanging. But we're going to be starting Simen Dalet on page Yud in the Nesivos Shalom and the Kuntres. And tonight we're going to talk about the weapons that we can use to fight this. Because again, it's not just like another avera, another sin that, you know, it causes spiritual damage. And then, you know, you go to the mikvah and you do tshuva. There's the four stages of tshuva and those things, like that all has to happen as well. But those things are not enough. There's like active inner work that has to happen in order for us to really get our place back to where it was. So let's, with that in mind, let's dive in. V'ho'itza ukli ha'neshek, the advice, ukli ha'neshek, and literally neshek in modern Hebrew is a gun. So ukli ha'neshek, the weapons that you need, the vessels that you use for warfare, lihal lihilachem, to fight, neged ha'oyev b'nefesh, against this enemy of the soul, Heim shloisha dvarim she'aleim ha'olam oimid. These are the three things that on it the entire world stands. You all know this because remember, we all have these answers. These are all been with us the entire time. It's just we haven't necessarily used them as weapons, as we will in a moment. And what those three things obviously are, as Pirkei Avos teaches us, it's Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. Yes. The answer sounds like another boring shir about Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. But no, we're going to actually refocus on this and dive into why these three things, which hold up the world, are going to be our most valuable tools and weapons. And before I go into this, I need to actually talk about something important. And this comes from the Sefer Hacharas Avreichim, from the Pius Etzner Rebbe. He talks about your imagination. So your imagination is extremely important. And we talked about this a few times already in this Limud, that you have to develop your koyach hadimyon. And the Yetzirah itself has a nickname that Chazal and the Tzadikim and the Sfarim HaKadoshim, they all call him the koyach hadimyon. And our tool to fight him is using our koyach hadimyon, which is our imagination. And one of the techniques he uses is we have to kind of imagine in our mind, and we're all going to do this right now, because we've talked a lot about different mishalim. We've talked about movies, using movies as a way to fight back, right? And using all the things that we've looked at and done in our past to fight back against the Yetzirah. So one of his techniques is we all need to go into our mind right now. Maybe close your eyes, take a minute to just breathe. Breathing is good. You know, I'm a little nervous because I'm giving shir. Always the first few minutes, I start to ramble a little bit because I'm nervous. And until I warm up, I need to like get into the zone. So breathing is really good. It's really helpful, right? And, you know, everyone's into breath work these days, and everyone's into all these like heebie-jeebie, hippie, you know, crunchy granola breathing. But the truth is, breathing, actually more than many of the other methods out there, is extremely effective. And just very simply, the reason why is because breathing is how we were created, that Hashem breathed a neshama through our nostrils. So breathing is a way we connect spiritually. And there's a lot more to talk Kabbalistically on breathing and the nose. But for now, breathing, take a breath, calm down. I'm really talking to myself here. And I want you to go into your mind for a second. And I want you to imagine there's like a stage, like a platform rising up. And just like, you know, on a stage, the curtains pull back. And then you have a spotlight. You have a spotlight shining down on you. And now here is where we'll have a little play area, where we start to develop our imagination and try to create a picture or a narrative or some kind of scene, just like they do in a play, in a real play, where they set a scene for act one in the play. So I want you to imagine yourself standing there. You're on this platform, on the stage, the spotlight shining on you. And I need you to imagine yourself as the soldier that we talked about, as Rambo, the soldier who's fighting the enemy who you can't, it's hard to see because they're hiding in the bushes. The Viet Cong is hiding there and they know how to set up booby traps and they have the little punji sticks hit dipped with like rotten, what would they use? They used to dip it in dead carcasses of animals and the toxic blood of these rotten animals. They would dip it and it would drip on the edge of the sticks. And if a soldier was walking in the bush and they got their foot stuck on one, they would get infections. It was really crazy, the stuff that they had in Vietnam. So get yourself into Vietnam. Think of those details. Maybe you don't have any experience with Vietnam, so you can think of something else. Imagine a soldier, imagine an IDF soldier going. You're the IDF soldier. You're going from house to house. But your whole platoon's dead. You're by yourself. You're bloody and you're bleeding. Just picture that. Picture that image. And you have only a few weapons left. You only have a few weapons left. You only have three weapons left. These three are going to be obviously keneged, Torah, Avodah Gemilas Chasadim. I need you to imagine that. And that the enemy, that Hamas, the Viet Cong, whatever the enemy is, that is the Yetzirah that's trying to get you to be, to break your Shmir Sabris, to break your Shmir Sinai. It's the enemy that's hiding, that's crouching in the alleyways, that is waiting to pounce at a moment's notice. And if you weaken your concentration for a moment, he's going to get you. And yes, we have failed in the past because you saw, you could see the bullet wounds. You could feel the bullet wounds all over your body, the gashes that they came with their claws and scratched you with. And you need to start focusing on what's in your hands. What are the weapons in your hands? We're going to focus on the first weapon. So you have that platform and you imagine the spotlights on you. Around you, you know, there's the movement of the scenery. Maybe you're walking through a jungle. Maybe you're walking through the torn out ruins of Gaza. You're by yourself. You got your comrades have fallen in battle and you've got lost. You're lost from the rest of your battalion. And you only got three weapons in your hands. And the first weapon is your sword. Yes, you're gonna. Yes, maybe IDF doesn't use swords. Maybe the American soldiers in Vietnam didn't use swords, but you have a sword. That's your weapon. A sword. It's the Rambo knife. That massive Rambo knife. You know exactly what I'm talking about. That Rambo knife. That sword is Torah, and we're gonna talk about how that sword is Torah. So let's dive in. Keep that image in the back of your mind. It's so important to work on this. You know, in back in school, they used to like hate on the daydreamers. But the daydreamers are the ones that save the world. The daydreamers, the ones who know how to craft these images. I may or may not have been a daydreamer. And I'm very, very used to crafting images, often not in a useful way. But tonight, we're redeeming these nitzaitzis, the sparks of holiness, from all the wasteful things we did. So we're going to redeem our daydreaming days. And we're going to get ourselves into a moment where we can imagine ourselves as that person. We have to complete the mission, because if not, then Hamas is just going to go back into Israel and start killing again. So we got to get in our head that we're that soldier between us and the entire Jewish people that is sitting in Eretz Yisrael that needs our protection. Okay, that's us. So now let's jump into it. We're going to talk about Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim on a different day. Tonight we're just going to focus on the weapon of Torah. That's the sword. You know, some of you might want to imagine that it's the sword and the stone from King Arthur. Some of you might want to imagine that it's a ninja sword or a samurai sword, nice, long, curved katana. Some of you really got that Rambo image in your head, that long, really brutal-looking knife, right? But swords don't get sharp and are not useful just by sitting on a shelf. We have to hone these swords. We got to hone our weapons. We got to care for them. If we have weapons in our armory and we let it rust and we don't care for it, then they become useless. And I think, you know, when we say these simple tirahs like tirah avodah gemilas chasadim, but we don't really do anything with it. We just kind of know it's there. It's in the attic. We have a big chest in the attic and we have our weapons sitting there and it just hasn't been used in years. We just kind of know what's there and we're proud of it. And it's like, you know, maybe I once used it when I was a bachur, but now I'm older and it's like, you know, I'm busy. I got life stuff to do. I don't run around with these, you know, these classic weapons anymore. Then those weapons become almost useless in our fight. But remember, the fight, the whole goal is to stay in the fight. It's not even to win the fight. It's to know that the only option is winning. It's different. It's not like I'm going to do this and this and a strategy and win the fight. No. That's not what it means. Because when someone does that, then they often fall unless they're like perfect. Unless the plan doesn't have any problems. But every plan has problems. All plans are amazing until the, how's the line go, right? All plans are great until you reach the fog of war, something like that. Sorry, I might have butchered the line, but you get my point. We have to hone these weapons. We have to care for these weapons. We have to take care of these weapons and we have to use them correctly. So let's jump into the first weapon, Torah. And this begam, we know, it begins in the mind. Like Chazal says, Al Yahar B'yoim, that's based on a Gemara in Nida, where if you think about certain things during the day, it's going to actually affect you at night. And we're not going to go into a long discussion yet about nocturnal emissions and all of that, but not always. It's careful to know, like sometimes when you're young, you're a teenager, these things can happen on its own. But a lot of times, and the Sfarim basically say, you have to be very careful about the thoughts you think of during the day, because if you do, it's going to cause you to have these emissions at night. So, the reason is because this Avera particularly starts in the mind. And then, Ba'achakach, Berigshos Halev, it gets into the emotions of the heart. Again, he's repeating the whole addiction cycle again, right? You have a thought, and then you fill in the details, and that's when it goes into your heart. It's like, you know, I'm feeling tired, stressed, you know, what do I do about it? That's a head thing. And then it goes into your heart, and it's like, I'm stressed because of this and that, and it's not fair, and my wife said this, and my boss said that, and my friend this, and my kids that, and like, you know, I need release, I have all this pressure, I need to get rid of it. So that's when it's just sitting in your heart, and it's just cooking like a chalent on low, just slowly percolating, just building up this feeling, this yetzer hara, just giving it space to grow and to be. Umisham, and then from there, l'chli ma'isa, that's when you go and act out. And obviously, as the addiction cycle explained, that's when you act out, then you feel guilt, and that causes you to have other thoughts, which then cause you to fill that in again, and the only way to deal with them is by acting out, and then so on and so forth. Right? And we know the famous line, Ha'ayin Broya, the eye sees, B'halev Choymed, and the heart lusts or desires, Uchli Ha'maisa Goymrim, and the Kli Maisa, which is our hands, they actually complete the act and the task. That is literally the addiction cycle in a nutshell. So Cain, Gam Reishis HaTikun B'mayach, the same goes for the Tikun, the fix. It starts in the mind. Lahamik kol moichoi belimud bi'iyun rav. And that is to immerse yourself, your whole mind, into a limud in not just like cursory learning, which again, depending on your level, like I'm not trying to judge like what level the depth of the learning is, but for you on whatever level, go a little deeper than you normally do. And when you immerse yourself into that, that's how you start to clean the mind. And this is what it means when you take your knife. Remember, you gotta have that picture of you and the soldier. You take your knife and you're putting special oil on it and you're rubbing it down and you're sharpening it on your whetstone, making sure it stays sharp. How does that all happen in real time? It's by spending time in Torah. And remember, the way to fix this pagam, we said before, is not by it's not by intellect coming up with strategies. So if I telling yourself, if I learn Torah, I'm gonna have a smarter brain so that I can come up with strategies. It's like no. Just the act of learning, of immersing yourself into the Das Elokus of Torah, into understanding, on the level that you can. Again, you don't need to be at a certain level. You don't need to have specific types of strategies. It's just immerse yourself. Keep that knife sharpened and honed so that when you look at it, you can use it as a mirror. That's how you start fixing it. Ukamaymer Marin B'divrei Shmuel Zchus Yagen Aleinu, another Rebbe in Slonim, like he said, Shekumoy Sheyesh Tahar L'Guf Ayidei Tevila, just like you have a way to be Metahar the Guf through Tevila, going to the Mikvah, the way to purify your thoughts and feelings is by being toivel yourself, toiveling your mayach in Torah. And I saw this in a few places that, it's a big inyan by chassidim to go to the mikveh every single day. And a few places in Yeshiva Shalom. Yeshiva Shalom says, not just in this country, it's in multiple areas, that if you learn, and he has his 5 hours, and we spoke about the 5 hour thing, but if you learn 5 hours Bertifus every single day, you don't have to go to the mikvah. It's better than the mikvah. And obviously, we have to know, 5 hours is not for everyone. He's talking to Bnei Yeshiva. We had our whole thing with Rabbi Saul Slant, remember all the way in the beginning, about it's better to learn Musar for 5 minutes, and that the way we do this is by taking a series of five minutes, 50 minutes, whatever it is, or even if it's not a series of five, any learning, going a little deeper than you normally go, even if it's really only for 15 minutes a day, but you're going deeper than what you're used to, this is enough to start the sharpening process of your knife, of your sword, of your ninja sword, so that you can fight that enemy. All right. Has amkus kazois, immersion like this, b'teira, sheshum machshava acheres loitiach haitzetzes, so that no other thoughts are coming and inserting itself. And if you can pull this off for 15 minutes, where you're so super focused, this is the way to do it. Now, again, this is very hard because I'm going to be open and honest here. It's just me and you. Sometimes, maybe more times than I'd like to admit, Torah feels like it's boring. It does. Torah feels like it's not interesting, and that's why I don't like doing Daf Yomi, because it's just like, for me, it's like repetitive and it's too quick, and I don't really feel like I'm grasping anything. It's like sand running between my fingers. I have all these excuses, and I know there's all the Torahs out there that say do it anyways, and they're all true. But when you're dealing with Pagam, when you're dealing with Pagam Bris, you need to get yourself into a zone, or like what some people call the flow state. The flow state where, like, if you've ever worked on a project and you've been so focused on the project, you like don't even realize time passing, that's called flow state. And you actually can do like an incredible amount of work. Like your productivity just jumps by like 5x. So you need to be learning Torah in that flow state. It seems like this is what he's describing. My Rebbe, Rabbi Berkowitz, he never said this about flow state, but I'm kind of taking what his meaning is. He said that you need to find Torah that you are passionate about. So everyone might tell you, yes, it's important to sit and do Daf Yomi. It's important to sit and learn Gemara. But if that's not doing it for you, right now we have to make sure your weapon is sharp. Yes, we're gonna revisit this, and you're gonna go learn Gemara, and you're gonna finish Shas 15 times over in your life. But for now, you have to figure out what's gonna get you into flow state the quickest. Maybe it's listening to this shir, right? You know, I sometimes ramble on. I do an extra 15 minutes, right? But all of this is part of the limud. Even my rambling, believe it or not. I mean, maybe we can argue this offline. But if it's this shir, find moments in it where you can just zone in. If it's not this year, some of you love Nach, right? But unfortunately, yeshivas, Nach is not like a huge emphasis. So maybe that's the thing you need to find. Just sit with Nach and like just sit there and learn it with Radak. Get some parish of Nach. I know like Rabbi Ari Kaplan's Living Torah, all written out in English. My Rabbi Berkowitz used to say that it's like the most accurate and clear translation of Nach that exists today. Like just sit and read it for 15 minutes and just zone in. No cell phone around. Like make sure like your family knows, like I'm just not available for these 15 minutes or 45 minutes or hour, whatever it is. Like you need to take that knife, and it's literally like the samurai. I don't know if anyone here knows about Japanese culture. The samurai are very ritual oriented. To a fault, actually, whatever amazingness there is with the samurai culture, there's a lot of problems there. They live in too much a gevura state. But what we can take from it, a lesson is, like, they took such care of the simple things, so that when they, at the end of each day, they would take their sword out and they would clean it properly, especially after a battle. But even every day, they would do some practicing with it to make sure their form was good. The top level samurais, the most experienced, they would do this every single day. They had special oils they used, a special cloth they used, dedicated just for cleaning the sword. They had a special way they didn't just take any random stone. There was like special stones they used to sharpen the swords. We need to have that same care for our minds. And this is so important, because someone said, like, you know, I had an issue. I had an issue a few years back, a personal issue. Baruch Hashem, not, you know, anything major, something that could be dealt with. And it was a friend of mine, more of a mentor of mine. He said, listen, you know, you need to figure this out, and you need to go do the right research on to figure out this issue. And, you know, when you go buy a car, right, you're not just walking in and buying the first car. You're doing research. You're reading articles. You're talking to different dealerships, right? Like everybody knows, right? You want the car to like really be perfect. You take time to like research the car. So if you have a spiritual issue, take at least the same amount of time you would when researching a car. Like take the at least the same amount of care you would when you're purchasing a new watch or getting a nice suit or whatever it is. I know some of you are, you know, they just walk into the store, pick up the first suit that fits, and you walk out. But some of you know what I'm talking about. Everyone's got their mishigas and things. So you should take some care for this. This is your mind. Your mind is this blade that must be kept sharp at all times. Because if you're in a battle, you can't wait till the battle starts before you start sharpening this blade. You got to have a sharp blade before the battle starts. This is a daily practice. Okay. So with that in mind, the Chazal Amru. So now we're going to go a little bit deeper into Torah and why it does what it does. The Chazal Amru, Chazal says in Kiddushin, Lamed Amud Beis, that's your makar for you. Barasi Yitzhara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin. I created the Yitzhara and I created the Torah as a Tavlin. The different pshatim on what Tavlin is, as you see in a minute, the Tavlin here is referring to medicine. The Tavlin was herbs, it's spices. There's different ways to understand this, and I think all of them are obviously true, and all of them apply in the ways you need it to apply. For now, he's using a different lashon. V'chol zman sratah zu alibcha, and as long as this bandage. So what they used to do in the old days, they might still do. I think they still do when dealing with different wounds. But the old days, they would get all the herbs, the medicinal herbs, make a certain paste out of it, slap it into a cloth, and then tie it around the wound. So when we do that with Torah, we just immerse ourselves in Torah. We grind the thing up, and you take the Torah and you like find the thing that you that you really connect with, and you get yourself into flow state, and you build. You have to plan this. Flow state is a hard thing. Like, you could be like sitting at home and like learning, let's say Chumash is your thing, and you're like learning Chumash, and then like your kid comes and just like needs your help, and you have to stop, you have to take care of it, or your wife needs your help. So you need to pre-plan this. You need to pre-plan a time and a place where you know that you're not going to get disturbed, and you're going to be able to zone all the way in, no distractions. It's going to take a little work, but we can do this. Maybe some of you have already done it do this year because you're at home, you're learning, and you wanna really zone in. But, you know, doing Zoom on your couch is not really the most ideal thing. Someone's going to be jumping on you, or someone's going to be calling you, someone's going to be interrupting you. So find a place where you can do the Zoom where you're not interrupted. Maybe some of you are calling in on your phones. So I can imagine that if you're on your phones, someone's trying to call you while you're on the Zoom or while you're on the call. Right, so it might be kedai to use a different phone. I'm not saying you should. I'm saying you got to find what fits your situation the best, so that you can get the proper zone state. And that's the thing. So many people today are so distracted that even when we're doing things that are important, like our brain's halfway somewhere else. And that's the Yetzer Hara loves that. He's like, he doesn't care even what you're doing anymore. It's like, you know, so many people are online doom scrolling. They're not even looking at bad things, but their whole life is just swipe, swipe, swipe. I don't know. I gotta check my email. Oh yeah, I gotta do the shopping list. Oh, my wife's on the phone. Yeah, I'm checked out of that conversation. I gotta go back onto I'm doing some work. Yeah, I'm halfway in, halfway out. I gotta check my status again. Halfway in, halfway out. All our life becomes halfway and halfway out. It reminds me of the famous story with Eliyahu HaNavi. He's laughing at the priests of Baal, and he's going to say, how long are you going to be straddling both fences? So these priests of Baal were also apparently Torah-observant Jews at the same time, however amazing that could be. And they were worshiping Baal, and they were also practicing Avodah Zarah. And they were also practicing Yidden. And he's joking with them. He's like, how long are you going to dance between both sides? But our whole life is that. Our whole life is dancing between both sides. Not to even get even more extreme, but I'm going to get more extreme. There's a type of Gehenim, which we call the Kafakela. I don't mean to get dark. I'm not going to go so deep in this. But it's where someone can't even get to Gehenim yet because he did whatever he did with it so bad. So they basically take his neshama and they slingshot him from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. But what's funny is we do this to ourselves in our own life. When we're so distracted and we're not zoned in, and we're not focused in, we are in a kafakela. We're slingshotting ourselves from one distraction, to the next bit of stress, to the next thing. We never really actually spend any minute in any one place to actually deal with anything. So if we could just take 5 minutes in your day, like Rabbi Saul Salanter said, and just get into flow state. Like, it's going to become addictive in a healthy way. You'll be like, I need more flow state in my life. And just spend time with Torah that lights me on fire. Some of you are like halacha nicks, and like you just want to sit and like learn halacha and like understand it. Like, how does psak work? Like, go for it. Do it. Some of you want to learn obscure subjects. Go for it. I mean, if it's really wild and obscure, please do it with some direction with a Rebbe. But go for it. The Torah is yours. The whole Torah is yours. It's your Yerusha. Go for it. Go crazy. But you have to do it. You have to be there and you got to do it. So if you keep this bandage of Torah on you at all times, in Chamisyari, you're not going to be afraid. Lo yimena chamin, not from the warm things. Lo yimena tzainin, not from the cold. And what does that mean? From minayetzahara, hamechamin letavis, b'makim shetzarech liyizkar. Like, you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to get dragged in from the Yetzer Hara that's going to try to heat you up for Taivas that you should be kar to. Your whole heart should be completely frozen when you see, because again, you can't filter the world. So the world's going to throw something in front of you. You're the IDF soldier. You're going house to house. There's a terrorist that's about to jump out. If your weapons are honed and ready, you will defeat the guy. So you're walking down the street and something super inappropriate just pops out in front of you for whatever the reason is. But if your heart's called to it because you're in control, then great. And if you have Torah in your heart, you're going to be able to get to that state. Umetzanin, and also umetzanin umekar by avodas haborer, and when the yetzahara tries to cool you down when it comes to avoda, when you should be on fire and boiling and like jumping, right? B'makam shetzarich liyitzcham. So that's what the yetzah is trying to do, and Torah will help you keep yourself in check to be cold when you need to be cold and to be hot when you need to be hot. V'chein tayres Hashem tamima mishivas nafesh, and because we know tayres Hashem tamima. Meshivas nafesh, Torah is pure and perfect, and meshivas nafesh, it will restore your soul. And again, it's not just in a way that like you'll become smarter because Torah is the biggest chachma that exists. That'll happen, but just the experience of Torah. I mean, it's not a davar sichli, it's not an intellect thing. It's just you're aligning yourself with a certain type of das. You're getting in your flow state. And your knife is getting sharpened just by the experience. Sha'al yedei ha-Torah yesh le yishev adas. Through Torah, you're going to have a calmness of mind. And that's the thing they talk about, like athletes who are like at the top of their game. When they're, let's say, like someone, a friend of mine used to be really into hockey. When he was playing hockey, like if he was about to, let's say, shoot on a goal, you know, take a slap shot or whatever it is, he said what would happen is like everything would slow down. And he, like, all of a sudden, he would be able to see, like, every little nuance. They try to do this in movies, too. Like, when, like, the real climax of the moment's happening, and then everything slows down. And then the hero is somehow able to outmaneuver the bullets or whatever it is. And this actually happens on a certain level. Because when you're so professional in a particular field, you're able to, like, you're not stressed out about performing. Because you know that you can perform well. You know this stuff. You're ready to go. So what ends up happening is you can actually stop. And you know, while you're doing the things, there's a part of your brain that can expand and kind of notice the world around and see the details. This is what Torah will give you. When we get into flow state with Torah, we just start becoming comfortable in the world. And that when issues come up, it's not like, am I doing the right thing? Am I doing the right wrong thing? I have to ask the Rav, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what to do. You should ask the Rav if you don't know. But even if that's the answer, you're not terrified. When the Hamas terrorist comes at the IDF soldier, if he's a well-trained soldier, he's not scared. Even if he gets hurt, he's not scared because he has his training that he relies on. That's what Torah does for us. And we know that when you fall into Tivus, you're just full of Sipuk, you're missing Sipuk HaNefesh. You have no contentment of the soul. You have no fulfillment in anything. You're walking around hollow and numb like we spoke about. And the neshama of a yid is from a place of tainug. We know Mesil Sisharim says in the beginning that we were created to have pleasure. We were created, we are pleasure seeking beings. That's what we are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us to seek joy and pleasure wherever we go. But that's the highest pleasure is obviously to seek the joy and pleasure, to seek joy and pleasure of Hashem. And Hashem's light and his or. U'ksha'in lai tanugim ksherim. But if we start finding pleasure in things that are not kosher, noifil b'tanugim roim, rachman al-tzlan. We're going to fall into the bad pleasures. Because, again, like a magnet, we're just attracted to pleasure. And if the more gunk we got on us, the more redirected to more gunk we're going to get. V'hatayra, naisena sipuk. But Torah gives us fulfillment and gives us contentment. Vitainuk. I used to do an experiment when I was in my Kiruv days where I passed around a little candy to everybody and we passed around the coin to everyone in the room. And there was a pushka set up. And we said, I want you to take a moment, and this is using your Koyach HaDimyon, take a moment and eat the candy. Make a bracha, we all made a bracha together, eat the candy, and just experience the joy of eating the candy. Everyone ate it, experienced the joy. Geschmack, delicious, yeah, great, good. Now take the coin, and like this coin's going to tzedakah, it's going to help families. I remember it was a different thing. Every time I did it, it was for like a different type of tzedakah. But it was going to help people. So take the coin, put it in tzedakah. And think about the feeling. Remember, get that koyach adimin, the platform. Imagine what it's like. And then we waited a few minutes. And obviously everyone agreed, it feels great, you gave the coin. I remember we did something else, whatever it is, and then we came back to it. And it's like, okay, guys, who can still remember the joy of the candy? And everyone's like, oh, yeah, it was still enjoyable. But I said, look, no, can you experience that joy right now, eating that candy? And no one can. They know that it's enjoyable, but they're not currently experiencing it. It was over. It was momentary. But then everyone take a moment and think about that coin you gave to tzedakah. Right? You gave the coin already. But that mitzvah is with you, and that mitzvah is never going away, ever. How does that feel? And obviously there was always the naysayers. Oh, I didn't feel anything, blah, blah, blah. But most of the crowd were like, yeah, you could still feel that goodness, that sense of contentment. Like, I did a mitzvah, I helped somebody. That never, ever goes away. And that's what we're talking about over here. That when you fill yourself with taivas, even things that are kosher taivas, they're just so fleeting. And you can never actually get back to that original feeling. And of course, when we were dealing with really bad stuff like gambris, and the more you're asic in these, and the more you're involved in these pleasures, the more disconnected you are from real life, the less content you are, and the more hollow you are, and the more you seek it. And Torah gives you tainug. Like we say in Mishle, Ayelas Ahavim Vayalas Chain, the Der Yervucha Bechol Es Ba'avasa Tizka Tamid. So let me just quickly pull up the pasuk for you. I had it over here ready to go. I apologize. I thought I had it ready for you. Here we go. Ayelas Ahavim Vayalas Chain. Right, like the beloved doe deer and the graceful mountain goat. Right, obviously this is all mashal. Deideha yevucha b'chol es. Right, her bosom will satisfy you at all times, like a mother and to a child. B'havasa tizka tamin, and with her love you should be continuously intoxicated. Obviously, he's not talking literally about a man and woman relationship. It's talking about Torah. A Torah is going to continuously give us joy because the physical joys in our life, they're very fleeting. Archaim says, in Pasha Kisavai, a very, very interesting way to learn out this pasuk in Kisavai. In Kisavai, we were talking about, let me pull it up. Also, I had this pasuk in Kisavai. Right, sorry. Here, the pasuk is Vehayisa Meshuga Mimara Einach Asher Tira. It's in the Teichacha in Kisavai that you will become driven mad by what your eyes behold. Now, this is talking about people who are obviously doing the wrong thing. And I was actually considering reading the entire pasuk, but I do have to end soon. It's kind of like shocking. It's like people who have no Sipuka Nefesh. Right, one of the curses is that you're going to be driven mad by what your eyes see. Right, but he's using it the opposite way. Right, that if you feel the sweetness and the juiciness and the all levels of sweetness of Torah, you're going to be chasing after it. Just like someone gets completely consumed and compelled to run after bad things, you're going to want to run after these good things and want more of it in your life. And I think particularly if you hit that flow state we were talking about. And there's nothing that a person can get that will give him contentment in his life, really deeply on the inside, like there is with learning Torah. And again, not in a shallow way, you gotta learn it deeply. And even for those who have no cheshek to learn, and what's what we talked about before, if we're going to be honest, so many of us have no cheshek to learn. So many of us. I'm not going to go out and say it's only because of gambris, but if we're going to be honest for a second, this sefer we're learning seems to say that. It seems to say that gambris is very much the cause. Now, maybe it was like an initial cause when we were young, and then we just got into a bad flow, and even if we're not Isaac and gambris now, but we're not in a good trajectory. Kind of, stopped riding a bicycle and we forgot how to get back on. But truth be told, right? He says, "V'gam lezeh she'en l'cheshek l'inlaid v'haskala etz l'kasha umar." Even for those who have no cheshek to learn, and the beginning is going to be difficult and bitter. Soifei achrei she'misgaber masek. In the end, it's going to, when you strengthen yourself and you do it anyways, it's going to be sweet. And I promise you, because I've been on that roller coaster. I've been on that roller coaster up and down, up and down. And it's very hard to get back into learning. That's why, yes, he says 5 hours for the Bacharim. Take 5 minutes, really 5 minutes. Commit yourself, be makabel yourself today for 5 minutes to go deep, flow state deep. If you do that, you'll probably find yourself going longer than 5 minutes, because flow state, you'll lose track of time and you just go deep. But find Torah that you enjoy. It doesn't matter what it is. Find Torah that you enjoy. Get in there. V'sheirish nefesh ruach neshama shalai. And your root, the nefesh and the ruach, and your neshama. Margishim is going to feel tanik, this pleasure of sipik iloi, this high spiritual deep pleasure. Please, you have to go. I beg of you, find something that works for you. And I actually would love to hear from you guys. Report back. So tonight, take a minute, think about it. Remember, you're still on that platform in your imagination, and that ninja sword or Excalibur or Rambo's knife in your hand, how we're polishing it with the Torah that we love. You know, for me, obviously, I love this. I love this stuff. I love this limud. I love Nesiva Shalom in general. And I could just sit there polishing my sword on that for hours and hours and hours on end. Some of you, it's Rabbi Nachman's Torah. Some of you, it's Chabad Torah. Some of you, it's Daf Yomi. I know, I was ripping on Daf Yomi. There's no point, like Daf Yomi is very, very holy. And there's so many thousands of Yidden that are mamish zoned in on Daf Yomi. Doing the MDY stuff, it's like so powerful. Whatever it is though, I beg of you tonight, it's your homework, find something. Or if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you know, the rest of the day, to think of something. Think of something that you can just sink your teeth into. I had an idea to talk about something else, but we're mamash almost at 9:30. So we're going to wrap up for tonight, and we're going to pick this up tomorrow. It's a huge bracha to be here with you guys. Anyone have any questions? Anyone want to ask anything about what I talked about? No? That means you're also holy, and it's just a privilege to be in front of you. So thank you very much. Have a very, very geschmacka day, and I'm looking forward to talk to you soon.
Recording stopped. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Or maybe you want to ask now after your recording. Sorry, maybe now after it stopped recording, maybe you want to ask some questions, because now you can get really juicy and no one will know. Anybody? Jake, anyone in the chat want to talk? Anyone have any questions? Nobody?
Nobody likes asking questions.
No one's asking questions? Comments?
Nope.
Thumbs up? Everybody give me a thumbs up. If you have any more questions, please, yeah, join our WhatsApp. We can get deep on stuff if you want. Bez Hashem, next week or the week after, I may actually, I'm not going to actually take a break from the learning, but I may take a whole shiur and talk about something outside of the kuntres, but all related to this and all related to developing weapons and a state of mind that will help us stay clear. So stay tuned for that. All righty. Have a
thank you.
Good one.
Thank you, everyone, for joining. Have a great night.